Today, the United States versus Lee. Mr. Handelsman, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, Robert Handelsman for the appellant. My oral argument will cover first a supplemental brief. I believe I'm number 50. I have another one tomorrow. And then argument one of the corrected brief. Argument two of the corrected brief, I believe, is now moot in light of Supreme Court's decision in Booker. Ordinarily, to prove plain error, the defense would have to point to something in the record. In a Booker situation, that would be a complaint by the sentencing judge that the guidelines bar a sentence lower than the low end, or some kind of complaint that his or her sentencing discretion is handcuffed by the guidelines. But you have told the district judges not to complain about the guidelines in a record. In other words, you have told the district judges not to say anything which now would allow a defendant to prove plain error in a Booker situation. Therefore, we are asking you to create a presumption that a low-end sentence like the one here is presumptive plain error for purposes of a Booker resentencing. What you're really dealing with here is that sentencing discretion was taken away from district judges, by and large taken away. You have told the judges not to complain about that, about their lack of discretion. Now, when the law has changed, prosecutors are telling you, "Well, there's no plain error because the judge didn't say anything."
I wouldn't spend a great deal of time on that, Mr. Handelsman. You have another important issue. I don't mean to redirect your argument as you've seen, because you argue you see fit. But we hear you, and that argument does not fall on deaf ears.
All right. Thank you. On the merits, Lee requested a lawyer. He said, "Can I have a lawyer present with me?" The government says that's equivocal. On page 9 in a reply brief, we drew an analogy between Lee's query and a child asking his mother, "Can I have a teddy bear with me?" There's no doubt what the child wants when he says to his mother, "Can I have my teddy bear with me?" There is, by the same reasoning, no doubt what Lee wanted when he asked, "Can I have a lawyer present with me?"
But the first thing he says is about his caretaker. She had nothing to do with it. Don't take the kids or something like that. He exercised some concern that all this stuff laying around in front of him is his fault, and don't blame her. So that seemed to be one concern.
Well,
he didn't want to drag her in. And I'm wondering, in the context of whatever he did at acquiescing and not asking for a lawyer, was to realize that, gee, if he gets a lawyer, maybe he's going to try to blame it on her. I don't know, but it doesn't. I'm just wondering in the context of all of that.
Well, I think in the initial brief we explained that. I mean, if you look at the other situations here, he is disabled. He has very limited use of his hands. He was found at the kitchen table there with the crack. And there are other people present in the house. I mean, it could very well be that the other people were doing it. He was sitting there watching, and he wanted to protect the caretaker. A jury could also find it and look at it in that light. So I wouldn't agree with the government's argument that these issues here are a matter of harmless error. I mean, a jury could find those statements to be innocuous and not indicative of his culpability. I'd like to address further some of the issues the government has raised in response to the issues involving Miranda. We cited two Ninth Circuit cases where the requests for counsel were almost the same as they were here, and they were found to be sufficient. In fact, in this circuit's opinion on Lord versus Duckworth, it characterized the requests in those cases as unequivocal. And the reply brief distinguishes the government's cases on their facts. None have facts which are even close to those here. And Wasella is not on point, and I'd like to emphasize that because the government argued it, and Judge Mim accepted the government's rationale there. The issue in Wasella was not whether the request for counsel was sufficient, but whether statements which were volunteered after a defendant was told his request could not be fulfilled, should have been suppressed. And we distinguish that on page 29 of the corrective brief and page 9 of the reply brief. On the second part of the Miranda issue, the cases are very clear that once a defendant requests counsel, the police cannot try to talk him out of his request. And none of the cases the government cited, if you have facts like those here, the defendant requested counsel, the police told him, well, if you have a lawyer, you can't help yourself. And we cited cases on pages 30 and 32 of the initial brief. We submit they're directly on point here. Once a defendant requests counsel, the police cannot try to talk him out of his request. I ask you to reverse the conviction, send this back for a new trial.
Is it all right to explain that, you know, take some time or something like that? Isn't it permissible?
What do you mean, take some
time? All right, he asked, he said, I'd like a lawyer. Can the police say, okay, we can't get a lawyer for you right now, it'll take some time, we have to find out if you can qualify for an appointed lawyer, you have your own lawyer, can they say anything? Or is anything they say off limits after he says, well, can I have a lawyer?
Well, I think under Edwards, they have to stop the interrogation. Because then once they start trying to go into these things, it seems that there's a violation with the cited cases.
But he here did, as Judge Mannion said, expressed concern about these children and this woman caretaker.
That was before the warnings were given. I believe we showed that those statements could be considered as not indicative of culpability. Those wouldn't be covered by Miranda because they were mentioned before the questioning started. But once they gave him a Miranda warning, said, can I have a lawyer present with me? They didn't ask him, well, do you have somebody we can call? Or they didn't go say, we'll call the public defender's office for you. They just said, well, if you have a lawyer, you can't help yourself. Now, if you take a situation, I don't recall if they were all in uniform. It's a very intimidating circumstance for a relatively uneducated person.
What was his capacity with this disease? Could he use his hands?
He
obviously couldn't walk very well, I guess.
Well, there was some conflict about whether he could turn the key in the ignition of a car. And the lady from the Driver's License Bureau came in and said, well, he didn't report that on his application, but she was cross-examined. The record was clear from his doctor that it's a fairly disabling situation. I think there's something on 2020 or one of the other shows last week about this type of disease. It's an extremely debilitating disease.
There's a razor blade on the table.
I don't believe it was checked for fingerprints, if I'm not
mistaken. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you can't even pick it up and use it.
I don't recall the specifics of the doctor's testimony or the therapist's testimony. I think it's outlined pretty well in a brief.
Well, what was the testimony about his activities during the sales?
I don't recall any...
There were a couple of sales to an informant.
That's what happens when somebody wants to represent himself. I think if there was a lawyer present, that never would have come out. But just as I recall, the officer testified, the informant told him he made a sale. There was no test performed on it, and there are no more details beyond that. So as I recall the record... there was just evidence of a sale just before, I think it was a week before, but I don't recall any specifics on that. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Handelson. Mr. Chambers?
May it please the court, counsel. Tate Chambers for the government. Your Honors, as a young boy, I learned not to walk in a well-plowed field, so I only venture far enough into the Booker field to say that I don't believe on this record either the third or the fourth prong of the plain error test can be met. The defendant can't show that he would have received a different sentence, and there was no, and this record does not support that there could be a miscarriage of justice. Moving then to the other issue.
Well, I don't know. seems to me, if with this medical condition that he has, that would certainly be something that would move the judge to go below a mandatory guideline range.
Your Honor,
it's a pretty unusual situation.
And Judge Mim mentioned that. He mentioned that during the sentence. He mentioned two things. One, the medical condition, and how bright this individual was. He did a fairly good job of representing himself. He called the expert witness. He did a credible job of putting on the expert. Judge Mim mentioned that and then said, but I think that the low end of the guideline is sufficient. It's over 20 years.
The guidelines also, in effect, cabined the judge. They said, ordinarily, you can't consider physical condition. It's a frowned upon ground for departure under the guidelines as they existed at the time of the sentencing.
That's true. But that doesn't mean that you can meet, that the defendant can meet his burden on this record of showing the judge would have went lower. The judge didn't indicate that at all. He didn't say, but for the guidelines, I would have given you less of a sentence.
Well, I think that's a dead horse.
Yes, sir.
Continues to be beaten here in these cases.
Maybe I've walked too far into that well-plowed field.
Not so deep, though.
Judge Mim heard the testimony. He heard what was said. He heard the officers testify at the sentencing. And what he heard and what the officers heard was a question. Could I have a lawyer? It was a question. It wasn't a request. It wasn't an invocation of counsel. It was a question. It was a question. It was so much of a question. The judge found...
What if he said, may I have a lawyer? Just change one word. Would that still be a question?
Yes, Your Honor. It would still be
a
question.
As opposed to the request, may I?
It would be. If he wanted to clearly invoke his right to counsel, the words are, can I have an attorney? I don't want to talk to you. Can I have an attorney? But I think it's very important. I think the inflection, the fact that we're under a clear air standard, that the judge heard the testimony, and that he heard how the officer testified. It was clearly a question to the officer. It was so clear, look what the other officer remembered. The other officer remembered different words. He remembered, do you think I need a lawyer? And on direct and on cross, and when Judge Mim questioned him, are you sure those are the words he used? He said, yes. The words were, do you think I need a lawyer? Well, judge found that the first officer probably had it right because he's the one that said it and he's the one that got the response. So the words were, can I have a lawyer? But I think it indicates how much of a question this was. And the counsel uses the idea or the...
Well, that's a dangerous area to get into, isn't it? When you get a, do I need a lawyer? I mean, it's so hard to reconstruct these vignettes, even well-intentioned and honest testifying law enforcement officials, and assume the same for the defendant. You know, it's obviously a challenging, if not tense, time. So if there's any indication of mention of a lawyer by a defendant, how nuanced do we want to go here after Edwards in this regard, Mr.
Well,
Chambers?
Your Honor, I think that the standard still remains. Is it a clear and unequivocal request for counsel? Would a reasonable officer understand it to be a request for counsel and invocation? Would a reasonable officer believe that? And as the court told us in Davis, the officer has no obligation to ask clarifying questions, although those questions that came after this question could be considered clarifying questions. And at the end of those questions, they said, now, do you want an attorney? And that's a straightforward question. And the defendant responded, no, I want to help myself. So he clearly didn't want an attorney. He wanted to explore, just like that little boy with the teddy bear. He may be saying to his mom, not can I take my teddy bear, but mom, I'm going to play day with the other boys. And if I take my teddy bear, do you think they'll make fun of me? Is this a good idea, mom? Should I take my teddy bear? And mom may say, son, I don't think it's a good idea to take your teddy bear. The other boys don't take theirs. A question, I think we can rely upon the district court judge on a clear air standard to listen to the testimony and make the decision whether or not it was a question. This was a question, not a clear invocation.
This conversation immediately followed the Miranda warning, I presume.
It did.
So he had already heard all of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Your Honor. First, he says, it's not hers. or that reference to the caretaker, and then the Miranda warnings are given, and then he says, can I have a lawyer? Thank you. I'd ask that you affirm.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers. Mr. Handelsman.
There's nothing in the law which says a question, can I have a lawyer present with me, is equivocal. The Ninth Circuit has said it's unequivocal. And if you look at the context in which this issue arose, albeit from this transcript, there was no doubt what he wanted. The analogy we drew in a reply brief had none of the ifs, ands, buts, and maybes that counsel was talking about. I think he's walking into that plowed field again.
The ironic thing here is that he didn't want a lawyer for the trial.
Well, there were reasons for that.
There always are.
Yeah, I know.
Our next case is a same situation.
Well, you know, I'm telling you from my experience, these defendants come to you and they would want you to argue sovereign immunity. And, I mean, literally. And when you tell them the law is against you, they get upset. I mean, I've written to them. I told them, laws, it's like the rules in a football game. I mean, the referee can't make up penalties or refuse to call them because they want the losing team to win. They got to go by the rules in the book. Maybe that gives you an idea why he wanted to represent himself. I mean, if this guy, as Judge Mimet said, gone the other way, finished school and gone to law school, he probably would have done a very good job. But I think, look at the practicalities here. If police are questioning him. He says, can I have a lawyer present with me? Say, if you have a lawyer present, you're not going to help yourself. I mean, what are we talking about here? They talked him out of his request. Thank you.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel, and Mr. Hamilton, as always, a special thanks to you for accepting this appointment.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. And